Good morning, guys. This is JD, and I want to welcome all of you back to the Think Bible podcast being produced here at GNG. We're really excited to have all of you guys listening and being a part of this and just engaging in this year-long Bible reading program and in these podcasts with us. We hope that this is an opportunity for you to dive a little deeper and to get a little bit more involved in your understanding of Scripture and deeper in your relationship with God through this process. So we thank you so much for being a part of it. As you guys know, we've been trying some different things with these podcasts. Some of them are, you know, really, really focused in on one scripture or one particular character. Some of the times we've even focused in on previous lessons and some of the stuff that we're doing here. Today, we're going to actually try something a little bit different again. Today, I have Robbie Ballmeyer, our student ministries director.
Hey, everybody.
And he is here with us today. And he and I are going to just have a little bit of a back and forth about what the Proverbs are and just kind of engage in a little bit of a discussion. So we hope this goes well. If you like this and you want to tell us through social media or something else, please feel free to do that. Send us in a comment or email us at info@goodnewsgathering.org and just kind of let us know if you think this is a cool format or something that you enjoy. But we're trying this today to just have a little bit of fun and engage in a conversation about a really, really important book. Now, as many of you know who have watched the videos through the Read Scripture app, the book of Proverbs is a really fascinating one, a really interesting one, and one that provides a lot of guidance and wisdom for life. So what Robbie and I are doing is just going to talk a little bit about the genre of the Proverbs, because these are wisdom writings. And so there's a really important way that you have to read these. So Robbie, if you would, just kind of jump in with a little bit of a discussion on how we can read the Proverbs and how we can understand what these things are.
Yeah, sure. So if you watch the video on the Read Scripture app, Tim Mackey pointed out in there that these are not promises, but rather proverbs. They're general rules of the way you live, and so that how God is asking us and calling us in to really his story and what he's doing. And so we take the wisdom literature that's in Scripture and we see them as general ways to live here, that they are, I think the word we used was probability, not promises. And so we need to be careful when we come to them that we're not looking at it that we would say, oh, if I do this, it definitely will turn out this way. Because that's not always the case. And if we do that, we may end up having a bad view of God or something like that and blame him for things not going this the way we expected them to.
So in other words, it's something like, If I read a particular proverb and I go, oh yeah, I'm gonna apply that, and I do, I may not see that reward right away or even ever. And if that's the case, you know, whether it's, you know, a proverb about, hey, you do the right thing, you live with God, you're gonna live a long life, and I get cancer at 30, I can be really disappointed with God and frustrated with God because that promise didn't come true for me.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So we need to be careful that we read them. And I think when we come to that, they are sayings, general wise sayings. And JD, you know, we were talking about that we have these sayings in our life that, you know, a bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. That it is the general rule that what I have already is better than going after something that I may or may not get. That isn't general a life promise. That's just kind of it's a good thing to live by. And so as we come into this and we look at the Proverbs, that they are again inviting us in to the way that God has set up the world to work, and that we should guard, and we're going to look at this, guard our whole body about what we're looking at, what we're listening to, where we're going, guard our heart. And that's really where God is calling us to again. So
one of the fascinating things about this book, and you've probably noticed it if you've been reading it, is that it begins with a series of discussions between a father and a son, and the overall goal from the father's perspective is to teach his son how to live wisely in the world that God created. And it's a series of discussions about how that son can grow up to live well in a world that God made and to live well in the universe as God has constructed it. Because as we all know, those of us that have faith and believe in God and believe in what the Bible has to say, we are created in a world that God set up, not a world that we setup. One of the fascinating comments that Tim Mackey made in that video was that when we live wisely, we are living, you know, in the grain of the entire universe, because God has set it up a particular way. And when we live opposite of God, we're actually going against the grain of the universe. That was a fascinating comment. But Robbie, given your position here at GNG as the student ministries director, and the impact that you know parents have on children, talk to us about what this proverb, what this idea of the Proverbs being a direct conversation between a father and a son means for us individually as we raise children or as we try to build the next generation here at G&G.
Yeah, sure. Because biblically, to understand that in the Hebrew home, the father was the one who would train the kids. And the interesting thing too about the Proverbs is we have women teaching as well, moms teaching. So the mom and dad are this huge influence on a kid's life.
Absolutely.
And so to understand that, he's trying to impart this knowledge to them. And so for us here, we realize, even in my interview process of bringing you on, that there are things that we can be doing so much better to equip and partner with parents. Yeah. And so over the course of the next year, you're going to see a lot of those things if you're a parent, of ways that we're going to try to help you and equip you and cue you into what we're doing here at the church to help you at home. And so there is an organization called the Rethink Organization, and they have done research and to realize that we as a church have roughly about 40 hours a year to spend with kids. 40 hours. So once you take out sports or sleeping in or getting sick, all those things, 40 hours to really impact them. And now we take that 40 hours and we spend a ton of money on programming and special events. And while all those things are great, and I think we'll have a place in the ministry that we're doing, when you compare it to the hours that the parent has, it just pales in comparison. And so they say that while we have 40 hours, parents actually have 3,000 hours. And so 3,000 hours, obviously, I went to Bible college, but obviously that's more than 40. And so while we look at this, we say, what can we do to tap into what parents are doing? Because no matter how hard we try, parents will always be the number one influence in a child's life. And so we end up like our parents. I find myself all the time as a parent of three kids now looking and saying things that my mom and dad said.
Absolutely.
And grabbing my mouth and going, oh no, what have I done? but we become our parents. For the good or the bad, we become them. And there's choices to be made in that. Yeah. And so again, as a church, you're going to see this whole strategy of ways that we can equip you better as parents. But I think even if you're not a parent, what we're going to talk about today, I think really applies to you. Yeah. It really comes down to a choice of who you are. And so, JD, why don't we talk about this? Because we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4, starting verse 18, just through the end of the chapter. And so, I guess, JD, if you want to read that for us.
Yeah. So this is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 all the way through verse 27. And for the rest of the podcast, we're just going to dive into this section because we think it's a really good just general overview of kind of what the Proverbs are like. Obviously, there's chapters 10 to 29 where there's these short kind of pithy statements about, hey, this is a way to live. But this is a really great section. And just on a personal level, I want to indicate that this is a section that I have had personally bookmarked in my Bible for years. Because from the time that I was able to first read it and understand it, this particular section really jumped out at me and grabbed me, and I've literally had it bookmarked in my Bible for probably a decade. So I'm going to read this, and then we're going to kind of dive in. So here we go. Verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, as we get started breaking this down, Robbie, I want you to talk a little bit about verses 18 and 19, because the father in this discussion presents his son with a very clear choice.
Yeah, so 18 and 19, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining even brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And so really, right away, it sets us up with these two choices. There is a path to take that's the way, that is the way of the righteous. Or is there a path to take that there's the way of the wicked? And now I think all of us would probably say, oh yeah, let's take the way of the righteous. But sure. What we'll see as we read on is that really, oftentimes we don't take that path. And this is not just a one life decision. This is a continual life decision with every day as we move forward.
Absolutely.
And so this path of the righteous, and I love this because there's been times where often I don't know what to do. And I'm sitting and just going, I'm praying. God's not giving me an answer. And I don't know where to go. And I think about this verse that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. That actually, as we do what's right, as we are obedient, we receive increased understanding. That obedience always leads to increased understanding. And this is why, and I'm sure you've had this happen to you, is that as we don't know what to do, as soon as you do something, all of a sudden you have a clue of what you're supposed to do. Even if you were doing the wrong thing, it wasn't exactly what you're supposed to be doing, it pointed you back that, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. Our feet start moving in the right direction, and all of a sudden, from what's in our head, comes down to our heart and starts making sense.
You know, I've had this phrase that I've used on myself several times. And I've just kind of said it to myself. I know other people have similar versions of it, but I've always tried to tell myself, "Do the next right thing." Because no matter what situation I may be in, maybe I've just royally screwed something up, or maybe I'm kind of stuck in a place where I'm not sure what to do. I'm faced with a decision where both choices seem difficult. That idea of just do the next right thing, and then God will provide that next ray of light for the steps even further.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's really good, because I think we have to just take steps. And what we'll see as the father is giving advice to his son, that this is, hey, let me show you the different parts of kind of your body to bring this all together of what righteousness and the right way of looking is. And really, this isn't just the father's way. This is God's way. Yeah. And this is where God said, print it. This is important, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're looking at this, that keep in mind that every day we have this choice, and that the path of the righteous or the way of the wicked. And I don't think it's always so obvious what we're going to do. And that's what we'll look at as we're looking at the different elements of ourselves and what makes us, that the righteous sometimes is counterintuitive. Sometimes it's not as efficient as we would like. Sometimes maybe it doesn't make sense, but we're not asking what makes sense. We're saying, hey, what's God's best way? So that, again, that I can be in the grain of the universe of what he's asking of me.
Absolutely. All right. So we're going to jump into the remainder of it, because the father sets up for his son, you've got a couple different paths you can choose from. You can go the path of the righteous. You can do what God wants you to do. You can seek him with everything and go in his direction, and he will gradually increase the light by which you walk. Or you can go the way of the wicked and end up in darkness and find that you're stumbling through life in a way that's difficult and unnecessary. But then the father jumps in with these fascinating first three verses. He says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body." What jumps out at me is he's setting up his son, and he's saying, "Son, please hear me. Like, pay attention to what I'm saying." I get this sense of a father who's like maybe getting right on his son's level, staring him right in the eyes and saying, "Pay attention. Don't let this pass you." And what's fascinating to me is that he focuses on his ears. Mm-hmm. He says, "Pay attention to what I say," and then his eyes. "Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart." And he's inviting his son into thinking about, hear clearly good words of truth. Listen well, because who you're listening to and what you're listening to has profound impact on who you are. There are right voices to listen to in life, and there are wrong voices to listen to in life. And who you decide to listen to can make a massive impact on who you become. Robbie, as you think about that, and you're a father of young children,
yeah.
Maybe what's an experience where you've kind of worked with your own children on how to live this way or to think well about what they're doing?
Yeah, I think about, I have a 7-year-old, a 2-year-old, and then a 3-week-old. So I'm new to the 3-child. And they say that more kids you have, the more sanctification you need. And so God's kind of walking me through that growth process. Apparently, yeah. I really need it. So I think about my 7-year-old and, you know, I think there's as much as trying to teach him and model this of what it looks like, where he will just at 7 has to be kind of the smartest kid in the room.
Yeah.
And while he is very smart, he needs to learn how to kind of control that. And I realize that sometimes I'll lash out. And so for me, I think more of me as a parent of my kind of lashing out to him. I'm like, oh, what did I do? And so in that, I'm modeling to him. You know, asking for forgiveness, yeah. and modeling to him, man, I messed up, because my words will crush him, yeah. as much as, say, my wife's words can have a huge impact on me, and I need that affirmation from her.
Sure.
And I can receive, hey, that was a great job on that lesson, or what you did there was awesome. But if my wife says, man, that wasn't that good, oh, it was the worst thing ever. And so so yeah. I realize that I am that to my kids right now.
Yeah.
And I probably won't always be, and that's probably a good thing. But right now, so part of that is modeling my speech to him so that he can learn the proper way to speak back.
You
so.
Know, the dad says, pay attention to what I say, listen closely to my words. And he's driving in on this point that you and I, there are so many inputs in our world. Somebody's always talking to us, whether we yeah. get on Facebook and we're scrolling through a bunch of stuff and we're seeing inputs from people, we're hearing what they have to say, or if we watch TV, or if we go to church, or if we talk to a friend, or to our friends, we are constantly getting inputs yeah. from other people.
We're all being formed by something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so what we allow ourselves to hear and what we allow ourselves to take in and believe and understand, because he says, not only, you know, listen closely to my words, listen to what I say, but he says, don't let them out of your sight and keep them within your heart. So the obvious implication is that what comes in, some of it sticks, mm-hmm. and we have to be very careful about what sticks. Now, Robbie, why don't you jump in and talk to us a little bit about verse 23.
Yeah, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And for the ancient Hebrews, life came from the heart.
Yeah.
So again, it's not that it's a science thing. It's not that they were wrong. It was just that's how they viewed it, that yeah. life was in the heart. And we still talk about this way. Like, my heart hurts yeah. when I'm in love or something like
yeah,
that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And we know very well scientifically that's not right.
yeah.
But we realize that, hey, like, everything comes down to our heart, what we do. Listen to your heart, every Disney film ever, right?
Yeah.
And so yeah. so in this, but we also, the wellspring of life, we also know, as we're going to be reading soon in Jeremiah, that the heart is deceitful, and that we need to realize, hey, okay, there's good and bad that's going to come out of the heart. And I think you made a really good point of some of it comes in and sticks,
yeah.
right? And so if we're guarding what we hear, we're guarding what we look at, all of that, where is it going to stick? It sticks in our heart. Mm-hmm. That then guides our actions.
Yeah.
And so I think about when I worked out in California on a ranch, one of my staff members, no one ever admitted to it, but somebody took our diesel truck and put unleaded in it,
oh.
which is obviously a big problem. Cost us a lot of money to get the tank drained out
yeah.
and do that. And but realize that what we put in really matters
yeah.
and will either completely lock us up
yeah.
or send us on the right path.
Yeah.
And so go ahead.
There's this one really cool passage in the New Testament where Jesus is talking and he's being confronted about the idea of the ritual purity laws and the foods you couldn't eat. And he makes this fascinating comment about, you know, it's not what goes into a person's body that makes them unclean. It's what comes out of them.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is saying in that moment, the Bible indicates that he's basically declaring food clean regardless. But what he's more saying at a much deeper level, that what's happening in our heart and the actions that we display on the outside come from within
yeah.
and that we have to be very careful about protecting our heart in order to ensure that our outward behaviors are positive.
Yeah.
So give me a couple ideas about how we can possibly go about guarding our heart.
Yeah. I think we have to pay attention to the world around us on what is causing our moods to kind of go up and down. It's the thermostat of our life, right? Yeah. So for me, I mean, even last night, I'm sitting and just mindlessly scrolling through Facebook. And then I all of a sudden, I have a life rule, don't read internet comments, but somehow I always end up a comment section. I've managed to not leave comments, but then I get stuck in this off of somebody's controversial videos and everybody has to leave a comment and say something. And I find myself, my blood pressure rises and all of a sudden I'm upset. And I just had to put down my phone and realize, man, like, I need help with this. And I turn to my wife, I'm like, oh, you should help me, right? And now today I'm back on it, right? You know what I mean? That's not a good thing. But what I have to do is say, hey, there are media outlets, there are news shows. I love talk radio and we'll just listen to it. But there are times where maybe even coming into an election season or something like that, where kind of this doomsday, ringing the bell, everybody hands on deck, I have to guard my heart against those things because I will realize that it will focus me on the wrong things. It will make me forget that God is in control. It will make me forget that I need Him and need to rely on Him, and it doesn't matter who is in charge and what things are going on. And while those things are important, don't get me wrong, it's a matter of I need to be careful what I'm taking in. So I think about our media intake, from either just news to even entertainment. And we say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that movie. But I know very well that my thoughts and even my words will be influenced by if I see a movie that has those things. And all of a sudden, I will allow myself to slip back into an old way of living before I was walking with Jesus. Yeah. And so as I think about those things, I think about you got to, again, we say you're being formed by something. If you think you're not being formed by anything, you're fooling yourself.
Absolutely.
You're being formed by something. The books you read, the movies you watch, the news you take in, the music you listen to.
The friends you hang out with.
Yeah, all of that is forming you for good or bad. This is the way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. And it's little by little. We know wickedness when we see it. And we go, oh, I'm going to stay away from that. If it's flowing out of a fire hydrant, well, oh, I'm staying away from that. Right? But it's that small little drip. Right? That I can stand a leak in my roof that's it's just a little slow leak, right? Yeah. But as soon as my whole drywall ceiling washes out, well, then I realize I have a problem and I need to fix it.
Absolutely.
But more often than not, it's more pervasive in our life. It's the little things over time
that make the big impact. It's a thousand little decisions, not the giant.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about. So when we guard our heart, it's a daily act. That I know that whatever I take in today, whoever I talk to today, those words are, some of them are going to stick. And so I need to be careful. So for me in my life, there's been people in my life I have to create boundaries with that I say, you know, hey, this is all I'm really going to share with you.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm not saying that to them, but I know that I have to create a boundary because I will get kind of the nastiness back. And they're not even trying. They don't even realize, right? They don't even realize what they're saying. Yeah. But those things will come back. And I used to wear longer hair. And I had a guy at church one time come up to me and say, after I cut it, he said, man, I'm really glad you cut your hair, right? He doesn't even realize kind of the hurt that he, you know, kind of stabbing me with that. He doesn't even realize that.
Yeah.
And often I think people intend good things, but it doesn't always come off that way. So we have to be careful of that.
You know, one of the things that kind of jumped out at me as you were talking is that old phrase, garbage in, garbage out. And that's a proverb and a kind of American terminology.
Yeah, in itself.
In and of itself. But really, it makes sense because when we allow certain things in, and to some degree or another, it's not just that we hear them, it's to some degree or another, we buy them. We let them stick.
Yeah.
You know, that those things can begin to impact us in a way that we don't even see right up front. But over time and allowed to grow continually, they can create a flood of stuff in our lives that we have to be careful of.
So, yeah, and I think that bubbles out, and I think that's what takes us then to verse 24. So why don't you look at that?
Yeah, so verse 24 says, put away perversity from your mouth, keep corrupt talk from your lips. What's very interesting about this particular verse is he's saying basically, be careful about what you say. And he's very clearly telling his son, put away perverse talk. To get rid of the coarse joking, inappropriate language, negative kind of expressions of anger and just vitriolic stuff that we can say to people. He's saying get rid of all that. And you know, what jumps out at me is that our language matters. Mm. And I go back to that story about Jesus, where Jesus said, it's not what goes into your body that makes you unclean. It's what comes out of you. And our speech comes out of us. Yeah. It comes directly from our hearts. And it's this idea that the things that are stored up inside of us will come out of our mouths. And we have to be very careful to take good note of what it is that we're saying, of the way we're coming off. When we were talking before we began kind of recording this, you and I were going back and forth about what are some ways that we could do that. And one of them that we kind of talked about was very simply either look very closely at what you say and the kinds of conversations that you get into. Are you the kind of person that uses very negative language? Like everything is negative. Everything's frustrating. I complain about all kinds of stuff. Are you the kind of person that uses really inappropriate language or talks about things that just ought not be talked about? Notice that. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to it. Recognize when you do. Or even if you're not sure, ask somebody else the way that your language or the way your kind of communication style comes off, because what we say has a very profound impact on who we are.
Yeah, the words we use today affect our tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's, you know, the things we say out in the parking lot will affect us. And that's where I just think about people, and this doesn't happen here, but people that, you know, flip each other off in the parking lot, you know. You were just sitting in church, but then that's what's coming out. And it will, out of our mouth, right? Our heart really is shown very clearly of what. And then so again, working with addicts for, you know, almost 4 years, I would realize when guys would start to change and their hearts would begin to change because the way they would talk would change.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm living with the guys. And so I get to see it in a much more kind of microcosmic way.
Yeah.
But I get to see it instantly. And I guess over time. And you see that where maybe sometimes here we don't always get to see those little changes that happen.
Well, and one thing that's important to remember is that nobody's perfect with their mouth. Mm-hmm. James in James chapter 3, verse 2 says, and everybody makes mistakes. And he says, if there is a single perfect person with regard to their mouth, then they're just a perfect person. And so basically his implication is nobody is 100% perfect with the things that they say or the attitudes they convey in their words or the positive or negativity of their speech. Nobody's perfect with their mouth. But we do have to be very careful because it is an indicator as much as it is an offender. You think about the things that we say that offend people. In that moment, our words can be offensive. We can hurt somebody else with them. But they're just as much of an indicator of what's in our heart as they are an offender to other people. Let's just jump forward to verse 25. Robbie, if you would, take us through verse 25.
Yeah, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. So again, there's this kind of building of what you're hearing, what you're looking at, what's sticking in your heart, what's overflowing out of your mouth, and then also what you're now taking in with your what you're taking in with your eyes. So again, this is that look straight ahead. So we think about a horse with the blinders on it.
Yeah,
so it's not looking left or right. It is just looking straight ahead to not get distracted. And so we set goals. We need to look straight ahead for what's going on. And I find it very interesting because the very next chapter and into chapter 7, he's going to be talking about adultery.
Yeah.
He's going to be talking about staying faithful. In verse 7, he says, man, don't even go down the street where that woman lives.
Yeah.
You need to avoid these things. And that's to have that directional look that I'm going to let my eyes look straight ahead. I'm going to fix my gaze directly in front of me, yeah, not looking left or right.
It's that being focused on what really matters and is really important. And when you put this in the context of a father talking to his son, he's saying, there's a path of the righteous and the path of the wicked. You have a choice. Keep your eyes focused, razor focused on exactly where God wants you to go.
Mm-hmm.
Know what is a part of the path of the righteous and a part of the path of the wicked, and look at the things that are a part of the path of the righteous, and don't look at the things that are
part of the path of the wicked. If sin wasn't fun, it wouldn't be enticing at all.
Exactly.
I'm not tempted to sin in ways that like don't entice me. Like my temptation is what I think is fun and what I think will fulfill me. And so what he's saying is, again, we're talking about God's way, the grain of the universe, the way God has set that up. And so he wants what's best for you. And it may not always make you happy, right? God's not concerned about your happiness. He's concerned about your holiness.
Absolutely.
And so how are you being set apart? That holy just means I'm set apart. And that's what he's talking about. Your eyes are going to look differently. This is times that I've turned down the trips to, you know, different movies, the trips to different bars and things like that, and with friends that I love, but I'm not going to go that way. And I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to certain music because I know what it does to my heart. It sticks in me. I'm not going to watch certain movies because I know what it does to my mouth.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to go to certain restaurants and different places because I know how maybe the girls are dressed there and where my eyes will go. And I have to stay fixed ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so if we can just be real there for a second.
Absolutely.
That's what that looks like in my life, is that I've set up boundaries for my own life, and that, you know, I'm okay with being ridiculed a little bit. But as I realize, the longer I hold on to those guidelines and those boundaries, the more I'm respected for those. And it doesn't mean not everybody respects me and, oh, Robbie's so great. But I think there is that idea of like, oh, now I don't even get the invites for that. And that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because again, I'm more worried about being holy than being happy in this. And I think happiness evolves from that. And joy, true joy, comes from following God's path for my life.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And in the moment, we obviously have to be wise because at the end of the day, the path of the righteous, that path of the wicked, they have consequences. And in many cases, they're very much in real time.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always take long for our wickedness to cause us major problems.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful. The final section, verses 26 and 27, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil. One of the things that jumps out at me just right off the bat is that phrase, take only ways that are firm. I think about have you ever been? I had to go through physical therapy at one point for a leg issue, at a knee problem, and I had to stand on this plank that had a tennis ball underneath it. And I had to try to balance myself going back and forth on this tennis ball to try to strengthen my leg. But that's a horrible way to try to walk around. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I wouldn't strap that thing on and then go try to walk through town. It's you're horribly off balance. You're constantly wiggling back and forth and trying to maintain uprightness. What the father is saying to his son is there are some paths where you can walk very securely and you can feel very comfortable and you can know that you're on level, strong ground, that you're not going to go falling all over the place. Or that, again, that kind of path, the wicked idea. Or you can try to stumble around on this completely uneven, you know, imbalanced type way of living. And it's very important for us to be very careful about the paths that we take.
Mm-hmm.
Because you mentioned it earlier. I think it's absolutely fascinating. We have to be very careful about where we go, because what's in our heart, what comes into our mind and our eyes and our ears, our feet will go that direction.
Yeah.
If we allow particular thoughts and things into our vision and our hearing, and they stick in our heart, we're going to walk in the direction that our heart is going. We're going to walk in the direction that our eyes are going. We're going to walk in the direction of the things that we're listening to on a regular basis. And so we have to be very careful about that.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. This, you know, make level. I know JD and I have footnotes in our Bible says consider.
Yeah.
Right? There's this, think about it. Think about where you're going. I think far too often we're just kind of swayed here or there. We like to have wishful thinking. Oh, I hope this happens, but we don't sit down and make a plan for where I'm really gonna go. If you're really thinking about, again, the thousand little decisions that make up our lives, that if I'm gonna choose the way of the righteous, then that's a choice that is now to consider it. To think about those things before you're given this opportunity. Hey, I'm going to make up my decision now, because I guarantee that when you're up against the temptation, if you have not thought about this, what you're going to do beforehand, you'll fall into it every time.
Absolutely.
And so this is where, again, it's making the decisions of, you know, hey, maybe I'm two different people. I'm a person at home and I'm a different person at work, or I'm a person at church and I'm a different person at home, or whatever that is, that, hey, I'm going to be consistent about who I am, good or bad. I'm going to be consistent because I'm going to choose this path and I'm going to let that show who I am. This authenticity is kind of that hot word, you know, but to be authentic about who I am as I step into this, for good or for bad. And to know here, you know, at Good News Gathering, man, you're loved, right? No matter who you are, because we're all imperfect and we're all trying to become more like Jesus. And so to understand that, hey, if you've set your mind to say, hey, I want to follow the path of righteous, that's why we're here for you. To equip you, to empower you to do those things. And so to say that I'm going to consider the paths for my feet, I'm going to take only ways that are firm, right? This means, like, I'm not going to be this trailblazer for the spiritual journey that, you know, like, if you think you found something new and exciting, man, slow down.
Be careful.
Yeah, be careful. Come and talk to somebody on staff about what's going on. Talk to your, you know, your life group's leader about what's going on and ways you're thinking about something. Because this is where the paths that are firm, the firm paths are the ones that other people have trod on. They've walked on them. They've pounded in that ground.
Yeah.
And so that you can now take that and you can feel confident in the ways that you're walking. And I know, you know, for me, one of the greatest things, joy, is to study some of the older people, these great, you know, heroic giants, faith giants that have come before us, and to read their things. And yes, they're some of the most difficult reading you'll ever do, right? But the benefits that you reap from that, knowing that, man, my beliefs are, you know, 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
And that as I read the scripture, I mean, these proverbs are even more than that.
Yeah.
3,000 year old proverbs. This is the way to walk. This is the way to look. It is firm ground. It's been compacted and pounded in. And that even when rain comes, it's still not going to make it sloppy. And so, and again, do not swerve from right to left. And I think of maybe a small goat path on a mountain hill. Mm-hmm. There's just enough room, you know, to just walk straight. You go, you know, left, you're hitting maybe the rock wall, right, certain death. And so, hey, I'm gonna stay on this path, but again, it's usually a path that somebody's taken before.
You know, one phrase as I was thinking about this particular section of the scripture was that phrase, wrong place, wrong time. You know, we end up in the wrong place and the wrong time because we went there to some degree or another. And we have to be careful to prevent being in the wrong place and the wrong time by being where we should be. You know, there are places that we know we should be, and there are places that we know we should not be. Again, we made the point earlier, chapter 5, the next verse, he launches into a you know, be careful, son, don't get involved with women that aren't your wife. Like, don't even go down that road. Don't be places where you shouldn't be. And I think that it's a direct flow out of that verse of be where your feet should be. If there's a place that you should be there. If there's a place that you said you were going to be there. Because in order to go down a wrong path, you have to make the decision to walk your feet down that path and in that direction. And so for us, being in the right place at the right time, or even, you know, there are times when being at the right place is difficult and being at the right place is hard and being at the right place costs us something, but it's still being at the right place.
Yeah.
And we know that God will help us walk through those challenging moments because we were in the right place. When we walk down that path of the wicked, when we go to the wrong place, we put ourselves on a path of destruction that, you know, we allowed, that we created, not something that God wanted for us.
Yeah. And if I can just add, like, don't do this alone.
Absolutely.
Right? The path of the righteous, like, that's plural.
Exactly. You know,
this is a trip we do together. This is a life choice we make together. And so it's so important to be in a life group, to be invested with other believers who are all trying after the same thing, you know, and working towards this, to have people that when the going gets tough, you can call, you can text, you can reach out to them, and they're going to be there for you, and they know your story, and they know where you've been, and they know what you're dealing with, so you don't have to start from square one of why you're in the position you're in. And so don't try to do this alone, that because you will fail.
I mean that
is just kind of the overarching principle of scripture. It's that if you do this alone, you will fail. And usually we see that anybody who tries to stand by themselves in scripture fails every time. And so, so yeah, I that would be kind of my last, you know, hope is that in this, is in the last encouragement is to really plug in, to get involved, to as you say, I'm going to follow the path of the righteous. Realize the path of the righteous belongs to other people too.
Yeah.
And who are you going to be on that path for other people?
You know, I guess for me, the one kind of final note is looking back over the section we've been talking about, ears and heart and mouth and eyes and feet. Righteousness, the pursuing of God, is a full body function. You can't leave anything out. You know, from your mind, your heart, your eyes, your ears, everything plays an impact. I gave a lesson a few weeks ago here at GNG where I talked about the irreducible nature of us. We are a mind and a body. We are a heart and we are a body. We have a physical nature, we have a spiritual nature. And you can't disconnect the two. So you can't just go to church and hear stuff and see stuff and think stuff and then go to another place in your life and hear stuff and think stuff and do stuff and expect that will all come together for you. It has to be an intentional choice to head in a particular direction and to head in that direction with all of you. Take all of yourself in that direction.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been a ton of fun, and Robbie and I have had a great time just kind of talking back and forth, and we hope that this has been a benefit and a blessing to you. Again, if you have comments or you want to share them with us, you can send those to info@goodnewsgathering.org. We would love it if you would share this on your social media and just kind of let other people know that this is going on and that we're having these kind of conversations about how we can allow Scripture to impact us on a daily basis. So until next time, we would just encourage you to think biblically, think logically, and think honestly. Have a great day, guys.
See ya.